Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I have Dr. Dave Stoop to my left.
Greetings, Larry.
With a cookie there that looks real inviting.
Yeah.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard to my right.
Hello.
Hi, Jill.
Hi. Where were the cookies? I didn't get any cookies, Dave.
I got treated.
He did. It just appeared.
I walked the wrong way.
No, it was left here for me.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was. He went out, and when he came back, it was there.
There was a cookie.
Very sweet.
Hey, I want to talk just for a moment about tv.newlife.com. It is a resource that really has had a great impact on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have each done a lot of things on tv.newlife.com. What makes it special?
Well, I think it's because, you know, a lot of times when the day slows down and you're left alone at night with your thoughts, that's when people think about their troubles that they've kind of been able to ward off all day long. And it's a time where you maybe would like to explore some issues or talk to someone, and people aren't available. So I think it's that middle of the night counseling that you can go and get some information. And to me, you know, information is, it helps contain me, I know, when I'm struggling.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it.
Well, I think it's, you know, one of the things that Jill and I have done a lot of are the Ask Me Anything questions, so that people write in these questions and they're personalized and we answer them. And then they're generalized because other people can hook into them because they're arranged title by subject matter. And there's something for everybody.
I think one of the things and reasons people like that channel is it's very safe. They can get all that. They don't have to call in.
Right. It's even safer than calling in, right? It's more anonymous than calling
in. They're listening and they can invite people in and out to their what they're learning.
Well, and they can forward it to someone.
Yeah, and repeat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pretty special resource. And if you just go to tv.newlife.com, you can find out there about the subscriptions. And they have a monthly subscription. It's very inexpensive, like $9.99 a month. And it's like Netflix, same kind of cost, same kind of idea. But it's more substantive and healing and powerful. Mm-hmm.
You won't feel like you're wasting your time,
right?
No. That's like sometimes on Netflix with the binge watching.
Every subject imaginable on that.
You speak with experience?
Well, I still have young people in my home, so, you know.
What do you like to binge watch? Let's have secret confessions here.
I don't necessarily binge watch. My children do, unfortunately, and sometimes they pull me into things. So
likely story. You don't eat popcorn either, do you?
Okay, Larry's making fun of me from how long ago? How many weeks has this been?
Yeah, it's been a couple
You're
weeks.
You're still remembering my munching in your ear.
I sat next to Jill at a preview of a movie, which, by the way, was fabulous.
Yes, which you have to go see in March. I can only imagine.
Yeah, it is a
and
great
if I sang,
movie.
I would sing, it, but I don't.
But it's the story of Bart Millard, and he is the lead singer of Mercy Me. Mm. He's got an incredible story. Bring some Kleenex.
Yeah.
I can't. It almost leaves me speechless. It's such a good movie.
And any parental issues you have.
And it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not Christian.
No.
It's got a lot of Christian theme to it. It's redemptive. But you don't have to be a Christian to get a lot out of this movie. So we're going right to the calls right after this break. And if you have any way that you can make a gift today, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And ask them to take your credit card or whatever, however we can do it. We need your help. We'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We want to go right to the phones, and we want to talk with Anthony. Anthony is calling from Orange here in California and listens on KKLA. Hello, Anthony.
Yes.
How can we help you today?
Ongoing struggles in my marriage probably for the past 6 years. My wife just recently moved out of our room to a spare bedroom. And I need help with how do I propose to her to attend the intensive workshop that's coming up in February, I guess is my question.
Well, first, tell us what's going on with your wife.
Why did she move out of the bedroom?
Well, just, you know, catching her in lies and deceitful, you know, and stuff and texts I've seen with
There's another man
boss.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Has it been a physical affair as far as you know?
I don't know if physical, but for sure emotional and just beyond the boundaries of a work relationship.
And have you confronted her on it?
Yeah, I have. She had discounted it as, you know, in the workplace. You know, she has meetings with men all the time, and I've never had a problem with that because she's just been, to me, a moral person, and I understand her line of work where she works with men, and I've always been comfortable with it up until, you
but know, something's different now.
Right.
So obviously you can't cut out half the population, right? So she's got to interact at work some, but there's something that, you know, is distinctly different, it seems like, in what you're describing now, that there's been a shift for her.
Yes, there has been. And, you know, just her priorities have changed. It's no longer family. It's work first, herself, my kids, and then me at the bottom. You know, she stopped going to church probably about 3 years ago. I've continued to remain faithful and looking for wisdom through, you know, different groups and stuff. And so actually I met last night, suggested I call you guys because, you know, I hear you every once in a while in my truck during the day. It's the only time I can catch the shows on my truck. But I thought it was good wisdom to call you guys. So I had time today and I called and just looking for God's wisdom in all this. I'm committed to my marriage. I'm committed to the vows I made between my wife and God. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing all the right stuff to,
Anthony,
have restoration. Yes.
Right. You're committed, but your wife is not. And it sounds like slowly, like starting about 3 years ago, you guys have been inching apart and more distance.
And drift.
So, it's great that you have stayed committed, but there needs to be some bridges towards each other. And I'm wondering what your wife would say is the problem here in your marriage. Like, what does the guy at work do for her that you don't? And I don't mean to be insensitive when I say that.
No, I understand.
But you're right. They're not just friends.
Right. I think just giving her, kudos for the work that she does. I don't think she's ever had a boss that has place such high value on her abilities.
So she's kind of blossoming in terms of her work and career and feeling very encouraged for that and like she's capable. Someone appreciates her. Her efforts pay off. Okay, all of those things that a lot of times women don't feel like they get at home. You know, the mom is kind of the thankless job.
Right.
And how old are your kids?
Oh, I've got so many. I've got five. They're adults, 32.
Oh, okay.
28. Yeah, 19 and 17.
Okay, that's four. But so the youngest is 17.
The twins are 32. I have twins that are 32.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Are they your kids or are they... Yours and hers.
Three oldest are from a previous marriage that I had custody of, and we both raised.
Okay. Is this her second marriage as well?
No, it's not.
No, it was her first marriage.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So a lot of kids are out of the house, or maybe the 17 and 19-year-old, are they still at home?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So it's a time where she's transitioning out of the role of being a hands-on mom. And, you know, a lot of women at that stage are looking for, you know, something to kind of replace that constant role and to feel like they do have value and they're worth something. Unfortunately, as you know, she's getting it in the wrong places. So instead of the two of you coming back together... she's looking elsewhere. And it's really hard to compete with this. So I think, you know, while you're well-intended, more has to be done than just hoping and praying and waiting for God to act. I think that you have to let her know that you feel like the marriage is moving farther and farther apart, and her moving out of the bedroom is one step closer to her moving out of the house. And that is she aware that that's what she's doing? And is that what she's wanting? Like, you kind of have to confront it a little more head on. And I think you have to show some strength here. Because if you are too passive in this, the other guy is going to win.
Well, it just happens. It just continues.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder, have you celebrated with her? You said her boss gives her a lot of accolades and she's doing things well at work. But have you rejoiced with her in those? Have you taken her out and celebrated? And have you kind of courted her again in certain ways?
Yes, I feel that I've, tried, to court her again. But, she just doesn't share really much what happens with work anyways, because I feel that, all the stuff that she would share has to do with what's going on with the boss and everything.
Do you guys have couple friends who are couples? Have you been in a small group together?
No. I mean, I go to small groups, but they're, absent of her.
It's men's groups?
Men's groups and, couples groups. Couples groups, but I mean, it's a mixed group.
Right. So my idea, and you guys tell me what you think, is that you kind of like playing the movie forward a bit. Where does she see this going? Because this is not moving you know, the two of you towards each other. And as you know, the next two will be leaving the house soon, and you want a life with her. So what is it that she's disappointed in your marriage together? What are the things that she, you know, has wanted from you that perhaps she's tried to get your attention and you haven't noticed? Where have you let her down? And I would be asking her those things.
Yeah.
And that you feel that she's moving away from the marriage and out of the marriage, and that you don't want that to happen, and that you're going to do everything you can, you know, to draw her back.
And your original question was how do you get her to come to the workshop in February?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That you do what Jill is suggesting in terms of wanting the information from her, but I think you would frame the February conference as a way to help you understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How you've hurt her, how you've let her down.
Yeah. And ask her those questions, and it's not you're not wanting her to come because you want her to get straightened out. You
right.
want her to come to help you get straightened out, mm-hmm. and put it in that context.
Right. Put it on you, like that you realize somehow you have failed in this marriage, and that you're really doing a lot of soul searching and wanting to rectify things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that you need her help in that. You need her to help shed light on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, it's why are you texting the boss? What are you doing? Where are you going? You know, it's accusatory, and someone that's got one foot out the door, you know, when the boss is making her feel good, right? It's not gonna work.
So own the problem, ask for help in understanding the problem. You're part of the problem, and talk about the weekend workshop in terms of helping you understand what mm-hmm. you've not understood.
Right. And even though, you know, Anthony, we know her behavior is wrong and it's never okay to make those kinds of choices, we can also see it as a symptom of perhaps what hasn't been happening in your marriage, or where she's not feeling connected or supported in the marriage. And that doesn't mean it's all your fault. She has to equally engage and ask for that and be clear on what she's needing.
Anthony, thank you for calling.
I'm so sorry.
How about the 7-minute, not the 7-minute, the Mediterranean
love plan?
Yeah, that would be, you know, maybe mm-hmm. to get some
something to talk about.
Some more playful things back in the marriage and some creative ideas instead of the same patterns that she's just going to shut down to.
Sure.
Okay, let's...
Thank you so much, Anthony, for calling. We're so sorry about what you're going through.
We'll be praying for you.
Yeah, it's never easy.
Okay, let's, where is it? Let's talk to Brenda in Seattle. Brenda listens on KACS. How can we help you today, Brenda?
Hi. So I went through a divorce after 30 years. The breakup of my marriage was my fault initially. So it was a very ugly divorce. I had told my husband repeatedly, you know, I'm willing to acknowledge my mistake. I feel like we're making a mistake in getting a divorce. I wrote him letters. I texted him, etc. He got a very aggressive attorney, and she said very horrible things in paperwork to the court because, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom and those kind of things. And so we have a business together. Anyway, the situation is that I have three grown children, and two of my three children will not speak to me. They will not let me see my grandchildren. Because my ex-husband, it seems to center around money. My son informed me after my husband and I went to the settlement hearing, and I don't know what my husband said to him, and my husband would never tell me, my ex-husband, but my son said I had to choose between the money and a relationship with my family. My mother also got involved. She wrote a letter to the court and said complete lies which I have in black and white on paper from a bank that shows that the things that were said were to be lies. They even accused me of being on drugs.
This is your own mom.
Yeah.
Your mom sided with your ex-husband.
Yes. So, yes, and she still does.
So, Brenda, if you were going to pose it in one question, what would that question be for us to consider as we go to the break?
Well, I guess if my life since then, I'm back in church. I'm serving the Lord, and that's what I want to do with my life.
And so your question is?
I don't know what to do about my kids or how to handle the depression that comes with, I invested my whole life into my family. I homeschooled my kids. I love my kids. But somehow, I don't know all the things that they've been told or why. I understand their anger, but I also don't understand.
Okay, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking to Brenda up in Seattle. And Brenda, we were just talking here, and we're not sure your question. Is your question that you'd like to know how to restore a relationship with your kids?
But it was also about the depression.
How to get through.
I think it's the depression. I've tried every way I can think of to restore a relationship with my children. I've reached out to them. I've said, if there's things that you want to talk to me about, if there's questions, anything, I'm here.
You know what I would do, Brenda? I wouldn't tell them that you'll answer any questions. I would say to them, I want to know why you don't want to have a relationship with me, and I will just listen, and I won't explain, I won't defend.
Interrupt.
I just want to hear your heart, and because I don't understand. And then listen, and make notes, and thank them when they're done, and then begin to work on it. But it strikes.
Well, I know my son won't respond to me at all. Nothing.
Okay. Well, right, because I guess we're a little bit puzzled that so many people have turned against you, and that's such a sad situation, Brenda, to be in. So I understand why you'd be feeling depressed. But sometimes when it's so overwhelmingly one-sided like that, you do have to kind of look inward and say, okay, what is my part in this? even if it's completely misunderstood. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I do understand, because initially it was my fault that the marriage ended. But
okay.
My family also doesn't know that I was reaching out to my husband the whole time, you know, after, I mean, at the point, and said, hey, you know, and I want to restore our marriage. And he ended up actually living with another woman for 9 months.
Okay.
And he hid that very well.
Yeah, but
from.
Okay, so it was your fault for the marriage ending. Did you have an affair?
Initially, so, yes, I did.
Okay,
I did.
So that's what they're all mad at you about, is breaking
apart. They're mad at me. What I am getting from my kids, from what they have said in the past, is they are mad at me because they do not feel that my husband should have had to give me any marital assets at all. My mother has gone around telling people that my ex-husband was destitute, that I spent money. I was running our credit cards up, getting loans from the banks, and I had to go to my credit union and get a letter stating I never did that. I never tried to do that. And his attorney tried saying the same thing. And
okay.
It was all about me misspending the money. It was all about money.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you did act out, people were upset, but then your husband used that to his advantage to create a story that made him the victim that everybody felt sorry for. Okay.
Yes, and even my counselor, because she had counseled with us at one point, and she said, your husband is extremely passive-aggressive.
Mm. He's going to get back at you.
And he does play the victim very well, because he's very quiet, and he kind of gets the ball rolling, but then he has other people doing, just like my son after the settlement hearing. I have no idea what my ex-husband said to him.
Right.
I thought the settlement hearing went quite well, and he said something to him. My son and I were talking before that, and then he called me up. He used the F word, every other word, and he ultimately said, you have to choose between the money or the relationship with your family.
Right.
Well, Brenda, Dave gave you a suggestion, which sounds like a good suggestion, a good way to start to see
whichever one of your kids is willing to talk to you.
Doesn't have to be all
about
of them.
That. Doesn't have to be all of them, and just
hear
it, and maybe send them a letter and ask them if they would be willing to do that, to sit down with you, and you promise not to interrupt, not to defend, not to explain. You just want to hear and take notes so that you can understand how you all the ways that you've hurt them. And see what you can get.
Right. But then also to your question, though, about the depression. So because this is the state of things, and it sounds like you're also at a point where you see that this is where it is. And so how do you kind of continue to move through life? And you said that you know, you're in therapy. You've gone back to church. I think, you know, getting in a support group. Either like a Celebrate Recovery group or, you know, just
life recovery
group. Yes, absolutely. Where people will talk about real life problems and support one another, while also looking at, okay, this is your life. So what can you add to have a full life? And then continue to, you know, reach out to your children periodically, but it may be, unfortunately, that they have to experience, you know, their dad, apart from you, kind of pulling his shenanigans on them eventually. And that's a hard thing to kind of wait for, but I think you continue to pray for, you know, openness and for them to maybe see things differently. And as you're willing to own your part, you're not being defensive about all of this, even though your husband's playing the victim.
Brenda, thank you for calling us. I think maybe
send her the depression book.
Hey, that's living with someone with depression. Is that still going to help her?
Still help her.
Okay, we're going to send you that book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression.
Even if it's you.
Yeah, there you go, and. Oh, I was going to say something and it left me. I don't know what's going on sometimes.
Well, okay.
So we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back right after this.
We're going to a break.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip, and that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever, and of course may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget, we decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. I just wanted to say something about life recovery and life recovery groups.
Yes.
You know, we believe that it can be for everyone. Everyone can benefit from a life recovery group. Some folks, you know, it is a 12-step program, but 12 steps of life recovery is really, you know, in the old religious terms, it's sanctification.
Yeah,
it's
discipleship.
Learning how to grow in Christ and learning how to live.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a good way to put
whether
it.
You are struggling with an addiction or not is really not the point.
Mm-hmm.
The
no.
point is you want to work on yourself and improve and grow in Christ.
Do you have any problems?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, none.
Then you don't need life recovery.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And we have a staff member who, if you wanted to start a life recovery group, learn about them, maybe by chance there's one somewhere near you that we might know about, call Reba. Reba is at our 800 New Life number. That's 639-5433. And she can get you going on life recovery. Talk about the Bible, the devotional, the workbook.
Mm-hmm. It's
the
not hard.
No, it isn't
it's
hard.
It's not hard. She can set you up and get you started. And
there are some other groups that are a little more formal and kind of tight in how they have to run. And you can run this very structured, or you can run it with a group you already have going, and you can meet when you want to meet. And it's really something. I would just encourage you. We have a leader's guide, too, that's available at New Life. So give Reba a call at New Life. Mm-hmm. New Life. At 800 New Life.
Yeah.
Can't call her at the .com.
No.
Okay. Let's go talk to Jim. He's calling us on Kansas City, Missouri. Listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
Well,
I want to say one thing about the previous caller, and then I want to ask my question if I can.
Okay.
The previous, not about her, not about her. I apologize. Just something. I would disagree. She shouldn't phone her children and say, "Tell me why." She should just every once in a while send a letter saying, "I love you, regardless of your choice. I love you. God bless you. Have a good life." They will come back on their own and talk. You go to her, the kids, and say, tell me why whatever she's doing inadvertently, subconsciously, or whatever dad told them she's doing, they'll read it that way. So don't call them up and say, hey, tell me. Just tell them you love them. Anyways.
Good
now,
point.
And
good
I'm,
point.
I'm speaking,
good point, Jim.
Now, thank you. I'm a little annoyed. And so if it comes across that way, I apologize.
Thanks for the warning.
It's the man's fault. Yeah. It's always the man's fault. It's always, like,
yes.
The woman phones up and she says, oh, my husband's leaving. And this is what got me to call. And somebody said, well, you're going to sit down and talk to the kids and blah, blah. Maybe the husband's going to help. Maybe he's not. But it wasn't the wife's fault. Yes, it is. It's got to be the wife's fault.
Okay, start, start with your situation. Let's not talk in general terms. What are
it's
you calling about?
It's always the man's fault.
No, what about you?
When I had, I'm going to right now. Sorry. I was married. She cheated. The cops came by to be, I didn't even call the cops. She called the cops. I was one that got beat up. Then the cops apologized to me. Then it turned out it was the minister that she was having an affair with. And it was my fault in the church. I had to leave that church. And whenever I listen to the shows about this, it's all, like, even the guy that called 5 minutes before me, it was, you were saying, well, what are you not doing for your wife? It's always the guy. Why is the church
guy? There is a bias. You're right. I would agree with you. And I think men and women cheat for different reasons. Or that at a certain point, women, you know, usually, typically, but there's always exceptions. So this is just generally, women have been trying to get through to their husbands for years and the husband just won't hear it. And then emotionally they get drawn in. So they typically have more emotional affairs. They give up and someone else gives them attention and they get drawn away that way. Okay. Now, there are those women that tend to sexualize things and have serial affairs, and it's more of an addiction piece, or it's more of a unresolved conflicts of winning dad away from mom. And so they repeatedly go out and have these affairs. So there is that category of women, but amongst, like, Christian women, a lot of times it's the first example that I stated. And for men, a lot of times, it's, well, you know, my needs aren't getting met. It comes a little more from a selfish place, and I want to feel good about me, and so I'm going to do whatever I can. It's more along the lines, I think, of addiction. Mm-hmm. So why is it even what you say,
and this, I've heard this,
okay,
why is it when the woman has the need, that's not selfish, but when the man has the need, that is selfish? That's my...
Well, let me just propose this. In a marriage, especially in a Christian marriage, I think the man has the responsibility to make sure that marriage is healthy. And if it's not healthy, I think he's responsible, whether she cheats or not.
Part of being the head.
Yeah, he's the head of the home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he needs to be taking the steps to, if something's going wrong, to get correction, to get the counseling.
He creates the environment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what you're saying is the woman is able to just say, too bad, you're not doing what I want, you're the head of the home, so I can cheat on you, but the husband can't.
No, of course not.
You're
Jim.
Simplifying it.
But then it's not the husband's fault, then.
We're not saying it's...
The husband, like, it can't be... You can't... There's this old saying, you'd lead a horse to water, but it won't...
You can't make it drink, right?
Right.
You cannot make a person responsible for someone else. Only Christ can do that.
Well, you're
only
not.
Only Christ can
right.
do that.
Listen to Dave.
You're not responsible for them crossing the line. But often, what Jill is trying to describe is the way I describe it is that often a woman looks to find another man as a stepping stone out of the marriage because she's given up. And the reason she's given up is because the husband hasn't heard her for years and she's
emotionally bankrupt.
I'm done. And she needs to have somebody else to lean on to get out. And so she'll have an affair. It's not done. It's not driven by sexuality, as it is with a man, where
it's a whole different ball game for a man, and he can, that's led to the double standard.
Right, but
it doesn't,
you know,
justify it, but it explains.
But it's also true, and we've said this on other shows, that a mom's job is kind of the most thankless job. Mm-hmm. I mean, so women get blamed for different things, but moms get dumped on a lot. And moms tend to make their children feel young, and so as they grow up, they're constantly pushing mom away, where dad is not pushed away as much as kids get older. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so women also have their plight. And so all of this, Jim, can we come back to you? Because you've been hurt greatly by these biases.
I have been, I admit that. I want to just talk about, I was a single parent.
Oh, well, then you were dad and mom.
Young kid, no, they actually said that, and I don't even know if this is correct, but I said, look, God can be mom, I'm going to be dad because that's all I can do.
Well, true.
And I don't know whether I did the right thing or not, but I knew I couldn't do both roles, so I'll just do one. But it's not that hard to be it's impossibly hard, but it's not what people make it out to be, is what I'm saying. It's possibly hard to be a single parent. But everything, it's like, well, you got to understand the woman. If we're going to make these rules about for women, the man wasn't listening, then it's the same. The woman wasn't listening. That's why the man needed sex elsewhere. No, he just had his sexual urges. She has her whatever needed is, and that's how we say we can justify what she's doing or understand it or don't
but
call her what we're going to call
the man.
But
we're not justifying it. I hear
but
what you're saying. There's different
saying
things
about
that are
her. What you're
well,
saying
no, there
about
are
him.
Oh, okay, no, it's not equal. You're right. We're not qualifying it equally because we emphasize different things because that's how the trends tend to go.
That's generally
but it doesn't,
speaking.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that there's no fault on the woman's side and that everything is the man's fault. No, that's just not true.
It's always the fault of the person who crosses the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have to cross the line.
Right. No matter how horrible a spouse is, you don't have to cross the line that way. There are other means to deal with those kinds of problems.
So it's your ex's fault that she crossed the line, and you had nothing to do with that. But the environment that you both put up with was part of what led her in some way or other to cross the line.
And you have a part in that.
And you have a part in that.
I want to send Jim a copy of Sacred Marriage.
Okay.
I think that is a great book, and the subtitle is "What If Marriage Is Meant to Make Us Holy, Rather Than Happy?" Something of that nature.
Yeah.
And I think he'll appreciate that.
Marriage.
I think so too. I do. We'll be back with another call right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly.
and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are in our final segment coming up, and we want to go and talk with Brian from Franklin, Massachusetts. He listens on the internet, and he's been waiting patiently. Hello, Brian. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. While I waited, I wrote down what I wanted to say so I could say it efficiently and quickly. But I'm going to try. I'll just say it. It's very impactful, I hope, regarding the whole thing with, Las Vegas and how all that stuff happened and people dying. And, it's just awful stuff. And one of your shows, a Marine had called and said, why did God let that stuff happen?
Mm-hmm.
I love and hate to tell you that I know why.
Okay.
So, but I could basically, here's what's going on. I know that God does not interfere with free moral agency or free immoral agency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you had mentioned the laws of God and how ultimately we have to observe that we cannot fulfill it on our own without divine intervention. It's just not going to happen. And so God's there to help clean up a mess and warn us before we get in it. Just like he did with Cain, he did not interfere with his free will. And Cain was feeling all upset and rejected when God clearly told him, if you do right, you will not be accepted. In other words, God was saying, you just got to change a couple things in your attitude, and you're going to be accepted just the way Abel was. But he didn't like that, and he didn't like the way God was going to bless them. So God will not interfere with a man with murderous intentions just like Cain had. And it's unfortunate. I don't like it. But I think that God chomps at the bit. He wants to. And I think he has to restrain himself. And I say that because Jesus looked on, over Jerusalem and said, I would have gathered you. And he had to restrain himself because they did not have the belief. So here's the little outline that I wrote. Number one, Daniel prayed. God dispatched an angel immediately. He was delayed by the evil power and principalities who wanted Daniel dead. And angels must fight in spiritual warfare the same as we do.
That's a really
but
good
God
point.
God did respond immediately.
The spiritual warfare is a really good point. And the whole idea of trying to understand God is something man has grappled with forever and will forever.
Hmm.
And there comes a point where we have to realize we are not going to understand God. And I have a couple of brothers that have rejected faith altogether, because they are not willing to not mm-hmm. understand and be God in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. there comes a point where it's the free will versus...
Right. A loving God...
Yeah, what's preordained, yeah.
Does have prevented. To... Well, but a loving God, it's a very loving thing to give us free will.
Yeah.
So it would not be loving to create robots or to just orchestrate so they're... you know, there is no evil, there is no choice, that would not, we would not then be free to choose him, and that wouldn't be real love.
There's some theological positions that take away man's free choice and think everything is ordained in advance. And then the question
both coexist.
Then the question, it makes sense, why would God do that? Because he's ultimately responsible for everything.
Right.
But when you put man as having a free moral choice, that alleviates the responsibility for God, because he's given us the freedom to choose. And it boils down to a theological position that includes free will as part of the picture, and they have to do that to get away from that why question.
Yeah, but he says his ways are not our ways.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're not going to understand.
And if we don't accept that, we're going to live in such a frustrated state every day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of taken this year, a word for the year for me is expectancy. I've encouraged folks to not live with expectations, but to live with an expectancy and expect that God will do something. He's going to do something today I don't expect. But if I have an expectation and say, God, this is what I'm expecting you to do, and he doesn't meet it,
right,
I'm going to be really upset at him and think he let me down.
And why wouldn't he want to meet it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
With our best thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's building a relationship with God that doesn't have to ask him everything, every question. It's like, I've been married for a long time, so I don't ask my wife, you know, simple questions. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? I mean, you just kind of
know
what's expected.
You know that look, too.
Yeah.
And
there's a rhythm. There's a rhythm to relationships.
Yeah, and there is a rhythm to our relationship with God which we don't have to keep wondering, am I doing the right thing? And, you know, he's given us clearer indication of what the right things are.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to kind of walk with him and not pester him.
Yeah.
That's a funny way to put it.
That is a funny way to put it, because I don't think he tires of us, Dave.
No, he doesn't tire of us.
At least I hope not, because I talk to him a lot, so I hope he...
Yeah, but it's a conversation. It's
yes, it is.
What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pastor at church this Sunday was talking about prayer and how prayer needs to be a conversation, and conversation involves listening as much as it does speaking.
Yes.
So we have to be thinking about that and not just going to him with our grocery list.
Yeah.
But to let him speak into us and give us thoughts and ideas and ways that we should communicate and act in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brian, you've helped us with some good discussion. Thank you for the call. I wish I could think of a book for Brian. Gee whiz.
Every Man God's Man?
Oh, that's a good book.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Every Man. Okay, we're going to send that to you, Brian. I wanted to close with another reading out of Ephesians today. And it says, where is it? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. I just love to think that the power that raised Christ is available to us today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
Paul says that in Philippians 3,
yeah,
that he might know the power of the resurrection.
Yeah. So that's the power that's available to each and every one of us, and that's why we do what we do here. We want you to experience that, a change of heart, a change of thinking, a change of mind and attitude, where you'll take some steps and really live in the light of what Christ has for us. We are a donor-supported ministry. We could really use your help. We struggle month to month this time of the year. It's going to get better here as the year closes. If you're thinking of a year-end gift for New Life, could you maybe expedite it and do it in October instead of November or December? It would help us through. It's just something that the way things ramp up at the end, it's a wonderful thing, but we'd sure like them to ramp up now. So give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. Help and hope in life's hardest places. That's what we do here. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and find the help and the resources and the way that you can find a new life in Christ. God bless.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.